This is The Naked Scientist. You're with me, Georgia Mills, and if you'd like to get in touch, let us know your favourite horror movie moment, for example. It's chris@nakedscientist.com, or you can find us on Twitter, @nakedscientists. Now, one of the things I do when a film is getting a bit too spooky for me, I turn down the volume. Because sound is a really big character in horror films. But just what makes a sound scary? There's obviously our associations we take into the theatre with us. Just listen to this dentist drill. Or this alarm clock. Both associated with very bad experiences. I don't like getting up in the morning. But are there sounds we're just more likely to find unpleasant? Dan Blumstein is a professor at the University of California, Los Angeles.
I study marmots, which are big ground squirrels, and I run a long-term study of marmots that have been studied in Colorado since 1962. And for this study, we catch marmots, and we mark them, and we release them, and we study them throughout their lives. So I know marmots pretty well. I'm enthused about marmots. And I'm casually handling a baby marmot one day, and we put marks on them. And I'm holding it gently, and it starts screaming, and I almost dropped it. And I wondered why I had that feeling. Why did I have an emotional response to a marmot screaming in my hand? I never had one scream in my hand before. I hear them alarm call all the time. I don't have emotional responses there. And that got me asking, you know, what's going on with this scream? What's going on with this sound?
Ladies and gentlemen, the marmot scream. How did you make them scream?
Well, we weren't making them scream. We're just gently holding them and, you know, pulling hair from their back to get DNA and putting marks on their back to so we could tell who they were. And every once in a while, they would scream. It's like, oh, no, not again.
Thankfully, no squeezing of marmots then. But why did this sound have such a pronounced effect?
So I'm reading around, looking and listening to screams, and it turns out that Darwin didn't know what marmots were. Like, you know, nowhere in Darwin is the word marmot. But Darwin knew what screams were. Darwin said screams are cries from young to assist help from their parents. And I said, okay, that's interesting. And all these species scream, and I listened to these hunting tapes, which are horrible things that hunters use as lures to lure in predators, usually to kill them or trap them. And if you look at the structure of these screams, they're all the same. If you listen to human screams, they're very similar as well. Screams are produced when animals overblow their vocal production systems. What's that mean? Screams are produced when a system becomes overstimulated and works outside its tolerance. So if you turn up your stereo, it sounds good, it sounds good, it sounds good, it gets louder, you know, you're rocking along, and then suddenly it's like way too loud, and the sound becomes sort of predictably unpredictable. It becomes noisy. It has rapid frequency shifts. It just sounds bad. Well, that system is no longer acting in a linear way. And there's a series of these acoustic attributes that are associated with overblowing a system. And one of them is noise. Specifically, it's deterministic chaos, but it sounds like noise. It sounds raspy. It sounds rough.
If you don't want to damage your ears by turning up your radio too high, here's an example of a sound without noise. And here it is with. Not too pleasant.
And these things are found in all animal screams and human screams as well. So it sort of seems that there's something, because of how screams are produced, there's something common among many species that makes screams maybe particularly evocative, that we listen to other species' vocalizations and maybe have an emotional response. I'm giving a popular talk about this in L.A. No marmots in L.A., but there are a lot of people that make music and film soundtracks. And I said, you know, I bet this works for movie soundtracks. I bet musicians do this to influence emotions. And one guy comes up later and says, yeah, you know, I'm a film score composer and I study how emotions and music are communicated. And I said, oh, that's interesting. And he goes, I bet you're right. I go, oh, you want to collaborate? And he's like, yeah. So we ended up getting an honors student to work with us, and the three of us sat down together, and we're listening to a bunch of these sounds, and we're looking at movie soundtracks, and we're getting the best movies, the best horror movies, the best adventure movies, the best sad dramatic movies. And we had a series of predictions. We said that these non-linearities are really emotionally evocative at a fundamental level. Then we should expect more of them in really scary scenes and really scary movies, and fewer of them in sad dramatic films and things like that. When we scored them, we found something really interesting. We found that these nonlinear acoustic attributes, this noisy type stuff, was overrepresented in climatic scenes in horror films and was underrepresented in sad dramatic films, suggesting in a correlative way that Well, yeah, that noise and these nonlinearities are emotionally evocative, and they're used specifically to convey, to get people's attention and make them aroused.
Next, Dan wanted to see how this noise impacted our emotions. He teamed up with a composer, Greg Bryant, and they made Marmot-inspired music to go along film clips, little ditties either with or without this noise.
And what we found was that there were emotional responses to these sounds, specifically the noise and the abrupt frequency shifts, whereby people felt more negative and more aroused when they heard these things. So basically, the story is, by listening to my inner marmot, I discovered that there's a way to understand why we're scared, what's arousing, what's fearful. And what's fearful are these nonlinear type sounds that are produced honestly when animals are really scared. And we listen to these and respond to these because our ancestors listen to these and respond to these. And we listen to these and respond to these because they're normally associated with bad situations. When animals are normally screaming, they're being killed or in serious, dire straits. And they're sort of unbluffable, honest messages that you should pay attention to what's going on and be scared.
So what about it is unbluffable?
When animals are really scared, if they sort of overblow their system, they're reliably producing these sorts of sounds. And if they're reliably producing these sorts of sounds only in situations when they're really scared and overblowing their vocal production system, that becomes a very honest signal. There's no reason to necessarily have that if you're not scared, but it might be an inadvertent, honest signal that's associated with being scared, or cue that others can cue into and figure and can associate the producer of that sound as being in a bad situation.
That was Professor Dan Blumstein from UCLA. And yes, that noise is heavily present in the infamous shower scene in Psycho.